Hi, I'm Alexis Arajema.
And I am Alexandra Nyman.
And this is Shoujo Mojo. It's an anime podcast proving that women can be weebs too.
Each week we discuss an anime or two.
Or three.
And dive into the topics that you care most about. This week we are discussing Fruits Basket, Faruba. Otherwise known as Faruba.
Faruba. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
so many feels involved in this.
All of the feels.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this episode because I know you've prepared quite a bit of information to share with us.
Yes. So I found out that this coming year is going to be the year of the rat. Which is really exciting, and something that when I was originally watching Fruits Basket that confused me was, oh, like, they're in Japan, why are they using the Chinese zodiac? Well, I stood to be corrected. They are using the Japanese zodiac. So basically what I learned is that the Chinese zodiac has had such a great impact on other Asian countries that they have basically adapted their own version. So for Japan, it's basically the same exact zodiac as China. The only difference is that the last animal is the boar in Japan, whereas in China, it is the pig. And the Chinese zodiac is calculated according to the Chinese lunar calendar, while Japan's is based on the solar calendar, since the lunar calendar was abandoned in Japan in 1872.
Wow. Yeah, and that's why we chose to actually do this topic today, is because we're releasing this episode on Chinese New Year as a special treat. What year are you? Like, what animal are you?
So I found, like, I was born 1991. And then you had mentioned that you are too.
I am.
So, like, I think it's so funny that we're both sheep.
Yes, we are.
And so what it says is that people born in the year of the sheep are elegant.
Wow.
Highly accomplished in the arts, passionate about nature. At first glance, they seem better off than the people born in other years. They are deeply religious and passionate in whatever they do and believe in.
Wow, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I would say that kind of feels really spot on, at least for the two of us.
Did you find out there was something about Vietnam I remember you mentioning to me as well?
Their zodiac closely resembles the Chinese zodiac, except that the second animal is the buffalo instead of the ox, and the fourth animal is the cat instead of the rabbit.
Oh my god. Way to bury the lead. That's amazing. Wait, so the cat is in
the cat is in the zodiac. So it
in
is
Vietnam.
Believed
wow.
That the Chinese word for rabbit, matu, sounded more like mio in Vietnamese, which means cat. So people, like, it's generally believed that it could have been a cultural translation error. Mm-hmm. But, like, the cat's in it, y'all.
Yeah, aw. I wonder if anybody in Vietnam watching Fruits Basket is just all sorts of messed up. Because even watching it in a Western context, I'm like, what is going on? Like, at times.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. And then I discovered that, like, depending on the specific year that you're born in the zodiac, you get, like, a different element. And our element is referred to as the metal goat, where career luck is good. We will be successful in most things that we do. You will also receive praise from superiors. Invest in those things which are more stable and never invest in the risky ones. That last sentence, like, that's kind of my life philosophy, where, like, if something feels risky, I don't really want to, like, go for it. I want to go for something sure and then have the risk on the side so that I can always return to the sure thing.
Well, we're definitely in the wrong industry then, because there's in media, we both, for those of you, you know, who don't know us that well, you know, obviously, because we're disembodied voices in a podcast. You know, we both work in media in New York in various ways. And so it's full of risk.
I know. It definitely is. Now, something that I thought would be fun mm-hmm. is I found our fortune.
Oh, great.
For the next year. So this is according to ChineseZodiac.org. And if you guys want to play along, you can go visit that site. And it will break up your fortunes into four quarters, money and finance, and health.
Oh, give it to me. I can't wait.
Okay. So, luck. The female sheep type is likely to enjoy a certain promotion in her present career.
Oh my God, please. Honey guy.
There could be attractive offers from competitors, but one's seniority would not be recognized by the new management. As long as one stays put and continues to dedicate wholeheartedly to one's job, one's career will prosper to a much higher level within a short period.
Oh my goodness.
Remember not to forget those that have provided all the necessary help along the way. Our lucky numbers are, now this is spooky, our lucky numbers are 2, 4, and 8, and my lucky numbers are always 4 and 8, because I always pick those two numbers whenever I would play the game of life with my family.
That's so interesting.
I know.
I'm born August 2nd, so it would make a pretty lucky number.
And then do you want me to, like, continue on and give you, like, what to expect?
Yeah, please.
Do you want to go through just the first quarter or all of it, a whole year?
Oh, let's just do the first quarter, because I think probably our listeners want to hear more about Fruits Basket.
Yeah. Okay, so for the first quarter, routine and love will be your worst enemy this time.
Oh, no.
So as a newlywed, you're going to have to, like, spice things up.
Oh, God.
No matter how attached you are to your habits, daily routine will get you down, and you'll have the desire to change everything in your love life. Wait, what?
Really?
We're both in, like, long-term committed relationships, so this just, like,
it's shaking
what?
Us up right now. Oh my gosh.
Perhaps it's time to take a romantic trip together.
Oh.
Maybe you should go on your honeymoon.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. That would be really nice.
Single folks, don't let yourselves embark on a relationship that may cause you more trouble than satisfaction simply because you're feeling lonely. I mean, amen to that.
Yeah, that's good advice for any zodiac animal.
How will you find your sister soul if you're wasting your time with the wrong person?
Ooh.
Now, here's our money prediction.
Oh, please.
One is likely to spend more during this month due to various functions, entertainments, or invitations. That's interesting because we're in the holidays.
Yeah, we're in the holidays. I just spent a bunch of money at Chelsea Market yesterday for different gifts for people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I hear that. Also, I found that I spent a lot of money during the month of my wedding just for various things.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
One could be faced with some difficulties in trying to turn down some of the invitations, partly related to one's business or career prospects. Hence, one should make the best of such occasions, considering them as an investment or enhancing public relations. And lastly, health. This one is hilarious.
Okay.
And so specific. Beware of accidents, either from driving, which is so general, mountain climbing, what? Or scuba diving, especially for those involved in competitions.
Competitions?
Do not, like, what are we going to be doing, Iron Man?
I don't know. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Do not take things for granted and try not to underestimate each and every situation. If one is not careful, one is likely to suffer from shoulder or thigh injuries.
Oh, interesting.
That's so specific.
It's very specific. It is. Oh, well, thank you for looking that up and sharing it. I feel like more prepared going into this new Chinese New Year.
Do you think any of this applies to your life?
Well, it's funny that you say that because, like, we were thinking of doing our honeymoon in the Philippines and we were going to do scuba diving there.
Oh, so, my God!
Yeah, yeah. We also had talked about maybe taking my dad, because he's never skied before, to the Poconos to ski. So both you hit both those things. And then for me also, I have been suffering from, like, as you know, like, carpal tunnel for a long time now. And the doctor thinks that it's been, like, in my shoulder and in my neck where, like, the condition, I guess, is, like, the root is.
You gotta show him this.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what really helps, though, most recently, just for anybody out there who might be suffering from seasonal, like, aches and pains or depression or things like that? Take your vitamin D supplements, people. I started taking them. The doctor prescribed me, like, these really high dosage ones, and I have noticed a huge difference in the aches in my body, so...
That's
definitely
so good.
Try to find something at your, like, local drugstore.
Yes.
And take care of yourselves in these winter months. So let's talk about, like, Fruits Basket, like, the past, the present, and, like, maybe the future. How about we get into, like, how did you get into Fruits Basket? Like, when did you originally get into it?
So, in the first episode, our pilot, I mentioned how in my French class, I discovered manga and that we could check it out in the library in my high school. And I don't think anyone really recommended it to me. I just noticed, like, the mint green sleeves and how, like, cute the typography was. And I was like, Fruits Basket? Like, what is that? Is this literally about, like, a fruit basket? And, like, the cover was of Toru, and I just thought that it looked really cute. So I, like, flicked it open, and I just immediately fell in love with the world. And I loved how, like, the author would have those, like, little notes and tangents and, like, the margin of the manga. And I think I read, like, all, like, I think they had 16 or 17 volumes out at the time. I went through the whole thing in, like, a week or two.
Wow. That's amazing. I had a similar thing. I actually had found a DVD of the original anime first.
Oh.
And I watched that, and I was like, this is so good. And I was like, I need to know what happens. And so I immediately, like, looked for the manga. And then I just started reading through it as often as I could. Back in the day, right, I don't know if you did this at all. It's great that your library at your school had manga, but I would like, convince my dad to drive me to, like, Borders or the Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And then I would stand with all the other kids, and, like, we would just stand. It was just a group of kids standing there reading manga, and it was awesome, and I would sit there, and I would do what I could. What I tried to do is I would, because I just really needed to know
I
what the story
Borders.
Was. Yeah.
That was so, like... I remember the first time that I went to one and, like, I saw how big the manga section was. Like, I think my little head almost exploded.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, like, so great because the way they don't wrap them in plastic in the U.S. like they do in Japan, so you can actually read the books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, if you've ever gone, have you been to Kinokuniya right before?
Yeah.
You know how all the mangas are wrapped in plastic? That's how they're distributed over there. But here... I don't know why they're not wrapped in plastic, but I'm grateful for it.
I don't think they've caught on.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's, yeah, it is what it is. But I remember that's what I would do is I would read through a book, and then I would have my dad buy me the next book so that I could continue the story.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I had, like, every other Fruits Basket book for a long time. But
I would take out, like, three or four at a time. And, like, I remember in one... It was, like, a Friday night. I read, like, 3 or 4 volumes.
Oh,
and my
God.
Mom, like, came into my room and was like, are you okay? Are you, like, not feeling well? Like, you did not come out for dinner. And I was like, you don't understand what just happened to Adore. You don't understand, Mom. He needs to find love. And so she just, like, slowly closed the door.
That's great. Yeah, it was awesome. I felt like I was living. I really loved it. And then to see that, you know, Fruits Baskets 2019 got announced and then released, and that they're already, I think in 2020, going to release season two. So because of that, we both rewatched the 2019 series, or not rewatched, but we both watched the 2019 anime, and we want to do some comparisons of that. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between the dubs and the subs of both the original anime and this new 2019 anime. The thing that I found really great is for the dub, for the English dub, all of the same voice actors reprise their role. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So Laura Bailey, like the Laura Bailey, she's done Maka Albarn from
For the dub?
For the dub. Yeah, the English dub.
That makes no sense, because we both thought that Yuki sounded better.
I know. I think that they grew.
And we were less annoyed by Kyo because he didn't sound as much as like a country bumpkin.
I know. I think that they just really like, I mean, they've been doing it for so long, right? Now, at this point, as voice actors, like Funimation has been doing dubbing for so long. Like, we both thought that it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that just goes to show, like, how much better, like, that they've improved their talent, and also that they've improved their dubbing process. And I thought that it was interesting, though, because the difference between the sub voice actors, so for Toru, the 2001 sub, her name was Yui Hori, and for the 2019 sub, her name was Manaka Iwami. Mm. And they were very different sounding voices. And like, Laura Bailey is such a pro. Like, for those of you who don't know, she's did the voice of Lust for Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. She did Maka Albarn from Soul Eater. She's the Toru Honda. She's done so many other things, like way too much to list. But just like, good on her, because she really, I think, was able to capture the nuances of this new Toru that kind of emerged in this new depiction of the story.
It's just so, like, because you had mentioned when we were talking about this and when we had watched it together, how you didn't really like the Toru in the second version, mm-hmm. but it's the same actress!
Yeah, I didn't really like the character of Toru. I thought that Laura Bailey did a good job, because for me, the 2019 sub, Manaka Iwami, I thought that Toru was coming, and you had an op, and it just goes to show, right, like, the lens of which we view stuff. Like, I personally thought that this Toru in 2019 was a bigger airhead, whereas I think you said you had the opposite feeling.
I felt like she was more genuine and more, like, put together as a character. Yeah. I just felt more of a warmth from her. But, I mean, she is a huge airhead, though.
Yeah, she definitely is. Yeah, and so because of that, like, I thought that I thought that Laura Bailey did a good job of encapsulating that and bringing it into her English version of Toru for this time around. Something also interesting I wanted to say about the dub voice actors for Yuki and Kyo. Yuki was dubbed by a guy named Eric Val, and Kyo by Jerry Jewell, and both of them are actually directors and writers who work at Funimation.
Whoa!
Yeah, so they're not voice actors by trade. They're media professionals. And so I think that it's pretty cool, because a part of me, I don't know this for sure, but my headcanon is basically like, back in 2001, like, who were they going to get to voice them, right? But now it's kind of like, they've become these iconic voices, and so it was only natural for, if Laura was going to come back, for them to also to come back and do it.
It's just, like, I thought that Yuki sounded so, like, feminine, so girly in the, like, original. Like, it blows my mind that this is the same person.
Yeah, I think it's great. I thought he did a great job. I love Yuki right now. He's, like, super...
He's so suave. Yeah, he's, like, exactly suave. How I pictured him in my mind when I read the manga.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Like, and also, like, the Yuki from 2001, it actually was... he actually was voiced by a woman named Aya Hisakawa. And that makes a lot of sense, right? Because that Yuki, the 2001 sub Yuki, I was not a fan, unfortunately.
I could not vibe with it.
It was just too feminine. Like, for somebody who was supposed to be suave, right, the way that they were supposed to be, and that might be a cultural thing, maybe, I don't know. I'd be curious to hear, what did everybody who might be listening to this, I'd be so interested to hear what you have to say about, like, your preference on, did you like the original sub better? Did you like the 2019 sub better? Or did you like either one of the dubs better? What's your preference? Let us know at Shoujo Mojo Pod on Twitter.
Yes. I actually have the creator, Natsuki Takayas, full comments on the new Fruits Basket anime and just kind of what she thought about the previous one, which when we like read through this during our research, I think it really broke both of our hearts. So her statement goes as follows. First of all, I'd like to offer my sincere congratulations to the staff for bringing us this announcement today. I may be the manga author, but at the same time, I'm only the manga author. So I think this announcement is a long-awaited recognition of the efforts of all of those directly involved in the anime's production, and that's a relief to me. As for how I felt when I was first approached about this new series, to be perfectly frank, my reaction was, what? As for the reason why, well, it's a bit of a long story. It's a personal thing that goes back to when I reached my 20th year as a professional artist. To commemorate that anniversary, a team made a voice comic DVD of Fruits Basket's final chapter.
Wow.
It was a prize sent to all the readers who applied for it and was not on sale.
I remember reading about that in the mangas.
Yeah, like she was so happy and excited. To quote the comments I wrote for the DVD pamphlet, my editor asked me if there was anything I wanted to do to celebrate my 20th year in the profession. And I kept replying, no, don't worry about it. I don't have anything I particularly want. And then one day, on the spur of the moment, I casually said, I'd love to sit alone somewhere and read, well, listen, to the final chapter of Furuba, with sound, with voices, and with the song for Fruits Basket playing and bawl my eyes out. I was also being glib. Just sort of building castles in the air and not looking for anything to come of it, but it sparked this project. Just as there were happy or fun times while I was writing Fruits Basket, there were painful or sad ones as well. There were plenty of times when I cried and thought, I want to quit Fruits Basket. And that's exactly why this voice comic, I feel like I'm getting the chance to arrive at the final chapter of Furuba again, but this time without the pressure. I'm really and truly reaching the final chapter at last. I feel like I can finally relax. So as you can see, with that voice comic, I thought I'd finally found closure and brought down the curtain of that chapter of my life. My heart was so full of emotions. Later, when the collector's edition came out, I also finally got to feel that I was able to depict the younger generation. And a new anime means going back to the beginning. What? I closed the curtain on this, and now you want to open it again? I never once felt negatively about the project or thought I didn't want to do it, but still my first thought was what? So I made several requests right off the bat. One of those was to do it with a completely new team, completely new, every single person. I told the producers, if you want to open the curtain again, then please make it all new. Please rebuild the Furuba world from scratch with everything new. Another request was to not make the art look too much like mine. This is partly because my Furuba art is now old, pure and simple, and also largely because I was in poor health back then. You can find more details about that in the afterword to the collector's edition if you're curious. So my drawing was awfully shaky. Because of that, I wanted them to rebuild the art as well. Other than that, well, it was a mix. On some things, I gave them detailed thoughts, and on others, I gave them my blessing to do as they liked. The production staff promptly accepted my request and worked to meet them, and I'm truly grateful to them all. Thank you all. They also readily gave me permission to visit the recording sessions sometimes, which makes me so happy. I don't actually do anything there. I'm just an observer. Really, I don't do anything. It's a pure delight getting to see the reels a little early like that. Creating art that people can truly care about is an overwhelming challenge. When it happens, I feel as grateful for it as I would for a miracle. I wish for them to maintain their respect for the previous work, while on top of that, creating the kind of work that will newly touch as many people as possible. I'll be a viewer just like the rest of you when the broadcast begins, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, wow. So for some people who might not know, the mangaka, the original Fruits Basket mangaka, actually wasn't a fan of the original anime. Is that right?
Yeah, she really wasn't. She felt as if they made some choices with the voicing and with the animation that didn't really go well with what she had envisioned for it. It's really interesting that it didn't really make her that happy.
Right. Because other than maybe thinking Yuki's voice acting was a little off, I totally would agree with that. I always thought that anime was good. I know that it didn't look as beautiful as her drawings were. But, you know, I just figured it was really hard to capture that kind of look in animation.
It felt really half-assed.
Yeah, I mean, it
felt
had
like
a different
look.
They were
just still.
Yeah, it had a different look. It's definitely much more fluid in the new version. One thing that I noticed, I'm curious, like, what her thoughts of this were, was there's a huge difference at the end of the first season of the original versus this new first season ending. And that difference is when Toru goes after Kyo after he's turned into his true form. In the original anime, right, Yuki goes with her and he helps Toru hold Kyo down and is, you know, yelling things like, I don't want to live this life anymore. Like, I don't want to be, like, you know, bound by them anymore. Like, these really strong thoughts. And that doesn't happen in the manga, right? But I always thought that was a really defining moment, and I can see why they did it, because they knew they weren't going to get renewed for another season, and they had to wrap up Yuki's story, because in the new anime, Yuki doesn't go after it, and he's kind of just this, like, mopey guy by the window for, like, the next episode and a half, and then he has, like, a few words that he shares with Toru in, like, the falling action episode that happens immediately after it, but that's about it, and that's because there's a lot more to the story that needs to be told that they're planning on telling, but I still think that that's a really strong choice, and I do commend the first original anime for making that choice to help, like, wrap up Yuki's character arc.
Yeah, I was glad that they gave him that chance. Mm-hmm. And they at least threw some growth in. In general, I just felt like the original version was just so rushed.
I agree with that as well. I also think, though, in this new version, just to wrap up that scene, oh my god, it was really weird. I thought it was not as dramatic as it could have been, the true form scene. And the reason why was, like, in the manga, when Kyo, like, swats at her and he cuts her chest, like, I have that frame, like, ingrained in my brain. Like, I remember what it looks like in the book. It was, like, really intense. And they did it that way in the original anime. In this version, he, like, grabs her by the chest, like, breaks the skin, and then he throws her into a lake. And he throws her, like, hard enough to kill her. It's insane. And I was just like, what? Like, that just totally threw me out of it.
It was, like, a weird creative choice, because it felt like the Kyo in the manga wouldn't do that.
Yeah, like, I think that it was supposed to be, like, a regretful thing that he hurt her, whereas this, they kind of fell into the, like, I need to hurt her enough that she'll, like, never leave, and she has this dramatic, like, walk-away moment, whereas, like, that's not how it was in the manga, and
no,
it also wasn't how they did it in the first anime, so I just found that kind of, like, cheapened it a little bit, like,
it put, like, a weird taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting
it. Like, I didn't really, it didn't feel necessary.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And there were some other, like, interesting differences. Like, it seemed at times that they, both animes, they really took some of the most famous motifs and some of the most famous frames, and they stuck to that, which was great. One thing, though, that I found a little strange was the music change in the pilot episode, where they get turned into animals for the first time and Toru realizes it. And I just remember the music in the original anime being that, like, really upbeat, kind of like, oh my god, things are happening. Whereas this was, like, kind of like almost a fall off, like, kind of...
Like, it didn't really feel like it built any sort of, like, anticipation. It was just kind of like, yeah, you know what this is.
Yeah, that's, it kind of felt like they were taking us for granted. Like, you know what this is. Like, you've been waiting for this scene. Here it is. And, like, that's the end of that.
I felt lazy.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, just a poor music choice, maybe. Like, if frame by frame, it's very similar. You know what I mean? But it was interesting in that way.
There are some, like, interesting things that I discovered when I was just kind of researching Natsuki Takuya. And some of her other works, like, I didn't realize that she had worked on Tsubasa, Those with Wings, Songs to Make You Smile, Phantom Dream. But two things that really stuck out to me was Fruits Basket Another and Fruits Basket The Three Musketeers arc. And I was like, whoa, what? So basically, Fruits Basket Another is the sequel to Fruits Basket, where it was originally launched on Hana Lala Online for free, and it started on September 4th, 2015. There's 12 chapters.
What?
Yeah.
I knew none of this. That's amazing.
And Yen Press picked up the license for the manga, with the first volume being published on July 24th, 2018. It revolves around Yuki's son and Kyo's son, and then they basically meet, like, their Toru-esque character. You never see, like, Yuki, Kyo, or Toru, but they're referenced heavily. They talk about, like, vacationing in the Soma house. Mm. They make an allusion to the curse, but, like, they're kind of poking fun at it. Mm-hmm. I really loved it. I read it, but I wish that it had gone on longer. Like, it felt like it ended really abruptly, and I wanted to see them when they went to the summer house. I wanted to experience that with them. And then,
So you'd recommend it then still, though?
I would highly recommend it. Great. I really liked it. And then I actually went to bookwalker.jp, and I purchased the three chapters for $3.07 for Fruits Basket, the Three Musketeers arc, which centers around Shigure, Ayame, and Hitore.
Oh,
where they decide to have an impromptu banquet celebrating the, like, release of the curse.
Oh my god, really? This exists?
Yeah, so this happens a month after everything that happened in Fruits Basket. I didn't really like it.
Oh.
But they did have some interesting things, like, it was really sexual, where, like, Ayame was talking about how, like, he called up Yuki and he was on a date and he got, like, really, really upset with him that he had interrupted his date. And then Kyo and Toru were together on a date and, like, Ayame and Shigure were wondering if they had, like, hooked up or not. So then they sent her friends to go check up on them since they were alone in the house for the first time. So, like, that was really interesting. And they were like, yeah, like, we've never had to worry about this before.
That's hilarious. I mean, those guys are always super sexual, like, throughout the whole manga and anime. Like, they're, like, sexual comic relief.
Yes.
That's great, though, that you read both of those. But, so what didn't you like about it?
It just felt really, like, ham-fisted. It didn't really feel like it needed to exist. It didn't really add anything. It would have been different if, like, I don't know. It would have been different if it wasn't, like, all three of these chapters. Like, they're just in Hattori's house.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, it's interesting because, so when was that one written? Do you remember?
It came out in 2018.
Interesting.
So, like, really, really recent.
How would you say the art style compared? Because, like, something that you, when you were reading about the quote from the mangaka, that really broke my heart is that she felt that her art style had degraded. I know, right, you had found out that she had broken her arm,
right? Yeah, she had had, like, multiple surgeries on, like, her hand. But I couldn't really find much information about what had actually happened and, like why she had had to have surgery. Mm. All I know is that she once injured her drawing hand. She had to go into surgery, and then Fruits Basket was put on a brief hiatus. She made a full recovery, but she complained that her writing hand had gotten uglier due to the surgery. The only other thing that I know about the surgery is, like, during her stay in the hospital, she developed an interest for baseball.
So, yeah, that's such a shame that she felt that her art style degraded, because I noticed as the manga progressed, like, I noticed the art style changing, but I just feel like that's a natural thing that all mangakas do. Like, the first volume of Fullmetal Alchemist doesn't look the same as the last volume.
I didn't really notice a difference between, like, the original Fruits Basket and these two other Fruits Basket spinoffs. Mm. So I don't really know what she was talking about.
Yeah, and I feel like it's interesting how she said, like, her art is old, plain and simple, therefore don't make it look like it anymore. I would disagree with that because, like, there's a reason why you're drawn to her manga. It's not because of just the story. You know,
yeah.
Like, that art was iconic, and, like, I would have totally, I mean, I think they did an amazing job in this 2019 version, but I would have been perfectly happy to watch even a black and white version of, like, her art as an anime. I think that would have been really special.
I just think it's so sad that she feels this way.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like it's incredibly old. Like, the first, the original anime aired in 2001, and, like, yeah, that's, like, a long time ago, but I don't really think that the art in the manga is really all that aged.
Mm. It ended up being really nice. I think, for me, I felt I was a little disappointed in, maybe it's a nostalgia thing, watching it now as, you know, a 28-year-old, I was watching it with my husband, and it was actually kind of cringy at parts, especially parts where, like, Momiji was present or Ayame.
That was always cringy for me.
Yeah. Oh, like, Momiji just was really cringy in this. Oof. To me. And I, at certain points, like, I kind of felt like I had to be like, I'm sorry that we're watching this. Like,
I never liked the character.
Mm.
I was just always like, is this, like, how they think of foreigners?
I don't even know, because isn't it revealed later that he's actually putting on an accent the whole time to try to, like, not have his mother recognize who he is? It's just, I don't know, there was a lot going on there.
It was just too much.
I think going through it this time, I don't know if it's different, but going through it when I was younger, I was just super buying it. I was eating it up. This time, I was a little bit more like, that's a little loose. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
I was always just like, can we please move on to, like, the chapter where he's not in it? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not about this.
Yeah. So there was, like, some aspects of that that I was just like, ooh, maybe, like, when I was younger, this is a little bit more my speed. But, like, for some of this, I was just like, oh, like, fast forward. Let me fast forward through this part.
Yeah. I was also, like, a huge Kyo stan. Mm. So, like, even if there were, like, romantic scenes between Toru and Yuki, I would, like, skip over them. But nice. Now it's, like, I don't really have that kind of connection to it anymore.
Right. Well, I also, yeah, being also knowing what's going to happen, I think, alters the way that you watch it, right? Like, the first time I ever was introduced to it, as I mentioned, is, like, the anime, the original anime. So I didn't know what was going to happen. And it's one of the most, like, epic love triangles that's come from anime, right?
Yes.
And so if you don't know what's going to happen, like, I think you would be more on the edge of your seat. Whereas watching it through this time, like, I know what's going to happen. I know who Toru's going to end up with, and I know who Yuki's going to end up with.
I still was not prepared for, like, what happens to Itori.
Oh my gosh.
It hurts every time.
Yeah. I know, it's very sad. And, like, that was done pretty well. His episodes, I thought, were really nice. I was loving these umbrella motifs that they got going on in the second
yes.
OP. Oh my gosh. Like, everybody has their own umbrella. And I loved it. And the rain clears up and everyone, like, is smiling and staring up at the sky.
So I thought, cute.
Yeah, very pure. One thing that I think that we wanted to talk about was, like, where does this kind of culturally come from?
Oh, right? Yeah, with the touching.
Yeah, because it's like the curse as it exists is basically you can't hug a member of the opposite sex. Thinking about having to go through that in the United States, like, some people wouldn't make it a day. You wouldn't make it a day without accidentally hugging somebody or, like, intentionally hugging somebody. It's very common here for us to hug one another, like, even just friends. Like, I hug my guy friends in front of their girlfriends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, like, a sign of greeting.
Yeah. It's very much not the case over there when I was living in Japan. And I had to hold myself back out of respect, you know, because, like, you can't just expect somebody else to, like, accept your culture, right? And So seeing that, I definitely noticed that there was a big difference, like, in the way that people greeted each other and the way that people would be able to, interact with one another.
Like, was she I couldn't find any specific quotes or, like, interviews or her speaking on this. If any of you have, like, I would be so fascinated to see. But it almost felt like this curse was, like, the curse of Japanese society, where it's just, like, with the way that their interpersonal relationships work, you can't have that, like, physical touch. And I feel like in humankind, I mean, maybe this is just my Western perspective, but I feel like we long to be touched. We long to relate to one another. We long to be in these relationships. You had mentioned, like, that thing that they do where
Kabedon.
They, like, yeah.
Kabedon. For those of you who don't know, Kabedon is that trope where, like, the guy is, like, pushes the girl up against the wall and he, like, smacks his hand against the wall. It's like Kabe means wall and the don is, like, the sound that the hand makes when it smacks the wall, and that's supposed to be, like, a turn on. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's,
but,
like,
you're still not
we
touching.
Don't have that.
Yeah, we don't have that, and they're still not touching even when it's done, right?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know this because you love Terrace House, right? But it's like, it's kind of like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Terrace House.
Yeah. Oh, what was it? Was it Rinopin?
Rikopin.
Rikopin.
Yeah.
Like, that was... Like, if that was the real world and, like, they had been sleeping together, it would have just been, like, a footnote.
Yeah.
But this was such a big deal.
Yeah.
That they were sleeping together when the cameras weren't on and then lying about it and pretending as if it never happened. Mm-hmm. That, like, the housemates confronted them and just, like, took the lid off on this.
Yeah.
Which really put her career as a budding idol. It did not help her.
No. And it's so... I think that all of the relationships that come out of Terrace House kind of have this feeling in it, right? Like, it takes them forever to get together compared to...
I know.
Some, like you said, you mentioned the real world. Compared to the real world, like, they'd
yeah,
be
they're
making
like
out the
and
first
out of
day.
Relationship in a week.
Yeah, exactly. And
but with this, it's like, they really, like... I would love to, like... When we do our Terrace House... episode, I would love to see, like, who's still together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of hard to find that. I've looked it up just for my own knowledge. It's hard to find, but we can do some serious digging and try to figure it out. But, like, it ties back into this. I mean, and I don't want to, you know, get too deep into the weeds on it, but yeah, everybody knows about Japan's, like, falling birth rate. And I think that there's so many different factors that come into that, like stress, work culture. But I think, like, the physical intimacy culture plays into it, like, huge. Like, if people are having such a hard time admitting that they even like somebody, right? And then once they admit the like, I read somewhere once, actually, that, like, kissing is considered, like, kind of similar to, like, having sex. So once you unlock that Pandora's box, like, everything else kind of comes with it.
Wow.
So it might be that until you have that confession, right, that, like, ski moment, it might be that everything else is kind of off limits.
Like, if I was your best friend, and we are both Japanese,
yeah,
and we are both in Japan, and, like, I can call you by your first name, you can call me by my first name, we have no honorifics, mm-hmm. could I greet you with a hug in a platonic manner? Does platonic touching even exist in their culture? Like, would you hug your child?
Yes, you definitely would hug your child. I think that you could hug somebody in a platonic manner, but I think that PDA is not as accepted there.
It's so weird that, like, hugging is considered PDA.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and that's why the hugging seems to be a big deal, and it's like a whole curse revolves around it in this fruits basket world. So I hugged people goodbye, like when I knew I was leaving and I wasn't going to see them probably again for a long time. We did hug then, but we also bowed a bunch. And then we did, you know how in anime is when, like, there's two people waving to each other from a distance?
Yeah.
I always thought that was just, like, dramatic, you know, for television or whatever. It's a thing they do. Like, you wave and you walk away, and then you turn around and you continue to wave, and then you walk away and you continue, and you wave until you're pretty much out of sight. And you bow, and you wave, and you bow,
wow.
and you wave. Yeah, it was insane. I couldn't believe that it was happening, but the only reason I knew to do it is because I had seen it in so many anime, and I was like, oh, this is, like, actually happening. Like, this is, okay, we're going to wave, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to walk, I'm going to turn, they're still standing there waving, I'm going to wave, I'm going to bow, and I'm going to keep going.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very interesting. So that was cool, but I felt like I was, like, in an anime being like, goodbye, like,
wow.
Matane, you know, it was great. And everybody who I met in Japan, like, was just so welcoming and so nice. But
that's,
yeah,
wild.
It's a completely different thing. And I think that, I don't
know. What does the bowing mean?
It's just respect. I think that it's just a way to, like, right? We have a handshake, they have bowing. And I think that that's a huge difference, right? If our way of greeting somebody for the first time is to touch their hand.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you hold their hand. That's our first interaction. For them, like, if they're scared of holding hands romantically, of hugging, like, Europeans kiss each other on the cheeks, like, they're not doing that, so they are bowing.
What do they do in business?
They bow. Yeah, they bow. They're bowing. And they'll handshake. They bow, and then they have a very specific process for handing out their business cards. It's, like, a very formal affair.
Whoa, like, what?
Well, business cards are called meishi. And the idea is, like, what you bow, and then you flip your business card over so that the text is facing the recipient, and then you hand the business card with both hands to the other person. And then, yeah, exactly as you're doing, you would take their business card, and then you would have to look at it, and then you would have to comment on something about it. You would have to be
wow.
like, oh, I see that you work in Itabashi Prefecture. That's very interesting. Is it crowded there? You know, you'd have to, like,
whoa.
Yeah, you'd have to comment on that. And that's the meishi, like, business card exchange. And so that's what they do in business interactions. It's one
wow.
of the first things you learn when you start learning Japanese. Like, that business card interaction is one of the first things that they teach you.
Wow.
Yeah, it's such an important part of their, like, culture.
That's really cool.
Yeah, in business, it's very, face-to-face business is still very important in Japan.
I wish that there was more, like, information on her family. Like, does she have, like, any foreigners that are, like, like, how did she come up with this as, like, the curse, as, like, the thing?
I don't know.
And why did she come up with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's a shoujo manga, right? It and it really follows the well, in a way, I feel like it invented some of these tropes as well. Like, but yeah. I mean, you've got your love triangle, you've got her living in a house of men, right? Like, mm-hmm. it kind of has all the makings for a classic, like, they're in high school. It has all the makings of classic, like, shoujo. But then I think the thing that makes it so universally loved is this curse.
So something that maybe we're just, like, viewing this the wrong way. Because, like, we're seeing Kyo, Yuki, Toru, and they're all in high school. And then you have, like, Kisa, who's just, like, a little kid. Maybe we're not fully realizing the whole, like, scope of the curse. Like, maybe for them, the only time that they really feel the effects is, like, well, for Yuki, with all the women, like, throwing themselves at him and love confessions.
But you were talking
but about... I was talking about Hitori.
Yeah.
Who, how it seems like him, out of everybody, suffered the most. He's a 28-year-old man. He's matured. He found the love of his life. He was ready to go all in. He told her about the curse. She accepted him. And then it just all fell apart. I mean, he wound up losing his eye, and just the anguish and the heartbreak. And, like, when you're older, because he's gotten past all those points where he's confessed. He knows that he wants to be with her, but he can never physically touch her. He can never physically be in a relationship with her. He can't have kids with her. Mm-hmm. He can't build that family or that life that he's probably always wanted. Mm. And it makes me wonder if, like, is that where Shigure is so, like, messed up?
Oh, yeah. Because
he's, like, a really sexual being, as is Ayame.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that that's... I think that Fruits Basket could be viewed as a way of... whether it's explicitly or implicitly, the mangaka is maybe making a point about... you know, sexual repression.
Yeah.
In Japanese culture, right? Like, and it's still kind of inherent in a lot of pieces of, you know, the culture. Like, pornography is still censored. You know, gay marriage is not legal.
And she seems pro-LGBT since she said how excited she was to, like, draw a cross-dressing character.
Yeah, you know, so that's pretty interesting. Like, I mean, when I was living in Japan, they had these, they had, like, yaoi and yuri comic book shops that were, like, 3 stories tall. You know, we went in, and we're going to do, I think, a Pride episode later on in the year.
And we're also having our Valentine's Day special, which yeah. is going to be all about yaoi and yuri.
Yeah, so we'll dig way deeper into all this then. But, I mean, I remember my friend came, and she visited me while I was living there. And I took her we walked by one of these shops, and I was like, oh, like, you got to see this. Come in, and let me show you this. And she was walking around. She doesn't like that kind of stuff. But she was like, what the hell is all of this? And she goes, is gay marriage here? Illegal here? And I go, no. And she goes, then what the hell is all this? You know? And I think that it's just... I think that because it is repressed, right? The only way that it's going to get, like, shared out is through art. The art of artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's, like, you know, this huge backlash wave. I think that represents itself in yaoi and yuri content.
Well, I feel like as a whole, their society is becoming more and more progressive. You have one of the Japanese princesses who has, you know, renounced her title in order to be with a commoner.
I mean, that sounds like a curse breaking to me, right? That's very interesting. Hmm.
There's a lot of speculation, though, of if she'll eventually, like, if she'll actually have to renounce it, or if they'll change their mind and let her keep her title.
Kind of like the English royalty?
Yeah, which would be really interesting. It would be so different for them to do that.
Yeah, it would. That would definitely show a big step forward, I feel like. Yeah, because I think people in general are becoming more socially liberal, but I think that we've seen a trend in government towards more conservative. So it's interesting to, like, see that dichotomy.
It definitely is. But thank you so much for tuning in this week.
Oh, we're at time. Oh my gosh, that flew by. I could talk about Fruits Baskets forever.
I know. We'll probably do, like, follow-ups too.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. Next week, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which is sports anime.
And you can follow Shoujo Mojo on Instagram at Shoujo Mojo Pod. Feel free to like us on Facebook and join our Facebook group, Shoujo Mojo Pod Official.
If you have an anime that you want us to watch and talk about, please email us at shoujomojopod@gmail.com or tweet at us at shoujomojopod on Twitter.
If you enjoyed this episode, please review us on iTunes. It will really help us to grow. You can find this and all of our other episodes on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And shameless plug, if you also love anime theme songs, please follow my band Otaku Ongaku on Instagram and TikTok at otaku_ongaku, and listen to us like on Spotify and everywhere else where music is streamed and sold.
And if you are looking for your next amazing cosplay or for a cute Amigurumi doll, follow me at Lady Cat Fashion on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
Yeah, you have so much good content on there. It's awesome.
I try so hard.
Yes. We're all trying. Gambatte.
Gambatte.
Gambattemasu. Gambarimasu. We'll do our best.
We will.
All right. Signing off, I'm Alexis.
And I'm Alex.
And this was Shoujo Mojo.